Becoming the New Wineskin by Russ Painter is brought to you by Kingdom Training Institute. Our goal is life transformation through education and mentoring.
So we've been looking at, over the past week or so now, this whole concept of the new wineskin. As I've been saying, we are really in quite a transitional moment in the life of the church, where all that we've been going through these past months has truly prepared us to be brought back to what the Lord originally had in mind, what Jesus originally envisioned when he spoke of the church, when he used the analogy of a new wineskin. And so over the past few days, we've been looking at the problem of idolatry in the church. We don't typically think of idolatry with respect to the church, but as I've mentioned, we can come up with our own picture of what church and ministry and all of that looks like. And because it comes out of our own thinking and our own desires, we end up serving that image, that picture, as opposed to really staying in step with what the head of the church, the head of the body, Jesus, is actually wanting. So it's a huge thing that we need to really look at and be willing to assess, okay, well, how much of what I've been, you know, doing and participating in and even leading is based on what I want, you know, what my definition of a successful ministry or a successful church actually looks like. And so such an important thing. And today I want to draw your attention to yet another great example of how we as humans are so prone to try to add to whatever it is that the Lord is wanting to do with our bright ideas or what we think is, you know, the way it should be done. And I'm talking, of course, about the Tower of Babel. Now, you might think, well, my goodness, what does something that happened, you know, way back in Genesis have anything to do with us? Well, it really truly does. And I'm again indebted to Terry Somerville, totalchange.org, for drawing my attention to this many years ago in his writings, because the Tower of Babel and what actually happened there is such a powerful example, again, of how we can get off track so quickly with respect to following the Lord's lead, right? So if you remember in this story, this is in Genesis chapter 11, it says that the whole earth used the same language and the same words. Can you imagine living in a time when everybody understood one another? Can you, how would that affect our ability to communicate and share and come into one accord? Well, that's exactly what we see happening here. It came about as they journeyed east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down and to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, which is a Hebrew word meaning confusion. because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. Well, fascinating story, but what does it have to say to us today as we are wanting to embrace this new wineskin and shift out of a religious structure, a religious regime that has limited really what the Lord wants for the body of Christ, for the church? Well, we as the church, right, we were never designed to be cloistered in some hidden environment, you know, behind four walls. We were always meant to be out in the world. Jesus sent us into the world, right? He says, go into all the world, right? So the idea that the church was somehow to become a monastery or, you know, an environment where we would all kind of gather, you know, and kept apart from the rest of the world, well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. So Babel and Babylon, which is really, you know, the other name that was given for this area, Babylon, it represents a desire that we have to make ourselves some kind of a safe environment where we can just basically, you know, hide out from the rest of the world. And this idea, this spirit that we are so prone to, in addition to that, it wants to say, let us build, right? Let us build. And, you know, we looked at that yesterday a bit, but again, it's talking about how we as humans have such a great propensity to want to build things. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that on most levels, but when it comes to the church, it's not our job. Jesus said, I will build my church, as I mentioned yesterday. You know, so this tendency to want to build, to want to create something, to add to God's plan and build a church, build an organization, right? We see that happening here. Now, again, I have nothing against organization. There are things that can only be done when you are in an organized sort of an environment, because it just makes things more efficient and, you know, a better application of everybody's, you know, skills and you know, knowledge is better in an organized environment. So the idea that we would create an organization or a corporation or something of that nature, no, because that's not what the church is. As I've mentioned yesterday, and I'm sorry for repeating myself, but it all fits in with this particular analogy. You know, God looked at their attempt to build a city, to build, you know, a tower whose top would reach into heaven. Oh my goodness. That is literally taking our efforts and trying to add to and build upon something that the Lord initiated, which is the church, which is the body of Christ, as if to say, well, you know, we need to improve on this somehow. That's not what the Lord had in mind. And as I've mentioned, the moment you make the organization the focus, well, all manner of problems begin to arise, because that organization now becomes the focal point. It now becomes the thing that everybody has to serve. And that was never what God intended. The church is always meant to be servant to the needs of people and not vice versa, right? So this Babylon, this Babel type of a spirit that wants us to build, We are, as I mentioned yesterday, again, using human methods to replace the power of the Holy Spirit and, you know, our selfish ambitions to do what they next said, which was, let's make a name for ourselves. I mean, you read that and go, oh my gosh, how many ministry or church organizations are out there that are wanting to make a name for themselves. It's like, well, we want our church, our ministry to be, you know, the most well-known or famous or whatever, the biggest, right? That is another manifestation of this spirit that you see here operating in the folks building the Tower of Babel, building the city. And another interesting aspect of this that I think speaks to human effort, right, and human design is the fact that when they built all of this, they used man-made bricks. You know, isn't it interesting that when God specified the blueprint for Solomon's temple, he specified stone, you know, something that God had created, right? God created the stone, and that was to be used in the building of the temple of Solomon that Solomon built. But here we see them building with something man-made, bricks, right? And that again speaks to how we are so prone to want to build something, you know, in our image or what we think it should look like. And God is saying, I never told you to do that. I'm going to build this, as Jesus said, I'm going to build it the way I designed it, the way I want it. So, you know, we're doing all this stuff and the Lord looks at it and goes, it's all going to burn. It's dead works. You know, you're wasting time and effort, you know, in engaging in those kinds of things. Another aspect of this, which I think is so important to understand, is that if we create something as an attempt to bring people together and hold them, which is it's a huge value under the current church system, because the church system as it exists now absolutely depends upon the support of its membership. So, you know, when God spoke to Noah after the flood, now all this took place right after the flood, after Noah had been released and he and his family were, you know, making a new life, and his sons were doing the same. Well, it was Noah's sons and their families that actually got involved here. And they wanted to build some place where they could live so that they wouldn't be scattered over the face of the earth. We're going to build this tower to heaven because, you know, we want this to be something that we do, that we have done, that we have created. We want to make a name for ourselves, right? So that we become famous throughout all the earth, but we don't want to be scattered. The Lord, when he spoke to Noah after releasing them from the ark, he said the same thing to Noah that he did to Adam and Eve. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, right? The idea was that they were to be over the face of the earth, all over the earth, right? And they didn't want to do that. They disobeyed that mandate that the Lord had given Noah and, by extension, his family. No, they wanted to be able to have everybody there so that they were together. You know, I'm sure that in that environment, there were people who were wanting to have control over what went on, whoever the leaders were. Maybe it was the, you know, the sons of Noah that were, you know, there wanting to be a leader. And in the body of Christ, there is none of that. There is none of that. I'll say again what I've said in the past, that if you look through the entire New Testament, there's only one person who ever has a title in front of his name, and that's Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody else is simply designated by their first name. Yes, they may also have their job description after their name, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he never labeled himself nor anyone else as Apostle Paul. We do that. We're the ones that give titles to people when those titles are not even mentioned in the New Testament. So the idea that Babel and creating this environment built by people to have a name, to have fame, and to create an environment where everybody is together and no one has freedom to do what, you know, what they want, because now all of a sudden you're told what you can and can't do. See, these are things that you see kind of inferred and implied in this passage. And oh my goodness, it's wrong. Okay. But why are we looking at this? Because these are tendencies that are still evident in the way we approach church and how we have actually dealt with the subject of church, right? Tower of Babel. They wanted to reach heaven. They were engaging in a religious and legalistic kind of a belief system that actually was teaching people, we can earn our way to heaven. We can make it happen on our own. And that, of course, you know, is a huge problem in many areas of the church, where people are focused so much on what we have to do in order to earn God's favor, his pleasure, his love, his blessing, answered prayer, whatever it might be. They were creating a methodology in building a tower that would reach heaven that absolutely dictated that you have to build this thing if you're going to get to heaven, which again just simply speaks to the idea that if we don't toe the line and do X, Y, and Z, God is going to reject us. That's gone. Jesus did away with that. He fulfilled every aspect of the law for us so that when we're in him, we are always fulfilling the law, because Jesus always fulfills the law and will forever fulfill the law. So when we think about how so much of the church is focused on religious endeavors, you know, making sure that you do all these different things in order even to have revival. Oh, if we don't pray enough, if we don't fast enough, if we don't do X, Y, and Z. See, God has already done everything that's necessary. And so the problem that we have is we don't focus on what's already been accomplished by the blood of Jesus and walk in that reality. We're still feeling like we still have to somehow do things in order to deserve God doing whatever it is that we want him to do. Jesus already provided that. He already made a way through his blood so that you and I could enjoy what God accomplished through that blood and simply walk in the reality of that. And so we have to learn how to partner with the Lord from that posture of rest, of resting in the finished work of Christ, knowing that there's nothing that we need to do in order to improve our relationship with the Lord or to improve on what it is that he wants done in the earth today. We rest in him at the same time saying, Lord, show me what you want me to do. I call it active rest. It's a rest in him that is also focused on any activity or action that he may want for us to engage in. But because he's leading, because he's guiding, I'm not burning out over trying to accomplish things in my own strength, out of my own, you know, mindset and thoughts and abilities. And so we've got to be very careful in this season of transition that we acknowledge, we recognize where we've been influenced by these kinds of things, and be willing to repent, be willing to step away and say, no, I am not going to continue to be part of building any Tower of Babel. As a matter of fact, I'm tearing it down in my own heart. You know, I don't care about having a name. I want his name to be the famous one, right? I want him to be known, and I'm not going to participate, you know, in the idolatry of my vision for what I think, how things should go and what it should look like. You know, the consequences of all this, many of us have lived through the consequences of this. And it positions us, unfortunately, for even more spiritual attack. You know, you try to do warfare against this, but because there's still these things in place, right, where we are basically emulating the folks here in Babel, right, with our own building plans and our own programs and, you know, making a name for ourselves and everything else that went along with that. You know, we try to do warfare against the enemy, and he's like, no, you can't defeat me because you're in agreement with me on certain things. So that's a problem, right? The organizational aspect of this as well leads to witchcraft. I'm sorry to say, it leads to spiritual manipulation and witchcraft. Again, because the value for keeping people, holding people is so strong. You know, oh, if people leave, you know, the church is going to fail. No, the church isn't going to. Maybe your organization will fail, but the church is going to move forward and march on because the church is not an organization or a building. I know these things can be so shocking to hear somebody say, and I don't say them lightly. I say over and over again as I'm teaching this material, I love the church of God. I love the body of Christ. I'm speaking to you about the organizational, the institutional aspects of the church, which have really put the body of Christ, you know, in a coffin almost, right? In chains, because we're not out doing what we were meant to do in terms of being salt and light, because our focus and our energy and our finances have all been focused on maintaining, you know, an organization, a ministry, an institution. And while that can be helpful, it cannot be the priority. And that's the thing I keep saying over and over again. It's all about Jesus. He's the head. What does he want to do? So the idea that as we are, you know, engaging in these things, and the tendency for people to have the manipulation thing going on, right? There's also many times, have you ever noticed how prevalent division is in the organized church? Well, that's because that's a consequence of Babel. God separated the peoples and sent them out over all the earth. So if we're somehow, you know, still engaging in practices that come out of the Babel experience, the spirit of Babylon, right? It's no wonder that there's so much division in the body of Christ. All of these things God is addressing. All of these things he is highlighting for us in this season as we are looking to move and transition into the experience of the new wineskin that Jesus spoke of and that he actually prophesied, right, in that. So, you know, again, I share these things for you so that it hopefully alerts you, opens your eyes to what's been going on and how we need to step away from a lot of these things. And now's the perfect time to do that. Again, let me make it very clear. I am not in any way suggesting that you should leave any church that you're a part of. You have to follow the Lord. If he has you planted in an organized church, then you have an assignment there and you need to continue to serve in that capacity. Nothing wrong with that. This is God leading you, right? But if you're in a place now where you're saying, I think I'm supposed to do something different. I think that I'm supposed to be engaging in a different expression of the body of Christ. Well, I'm giving you insights as to why God is stirring so many people up in that regard. And so that you don't feel like, oh man, there's something wrong with me, right? Many of us, as we were first starting to move in these things, we felt like, wow, what the heck's wrong with me? Why do I see this? Why do I feel this? You know, and God had to give us revelation to help us understand what he really wants, you know, so that we could start to embrace that. So I hope this is helpful. I hope it's encouraging for you as we continue to look at these various things. Again, I'm drawing from material that I put together over 10 years ago as part of a curriculum to help people understand the new wineskin and what it means for us to actually embrace that and make that our priority, because it's his, right? He gets to tell us what he wants, and he gets to call the shots when we come together in any sort of a meeting, two or three, right? I'm going to show up, he said. So important. I hope it's helpful for you. Again, if you have any questions, if you want to challenge me on anything that I'm sharing, I am very open to dialogue. You can send me a Facebook message, and I would love to have a conversation with you.
For more information about Kingdom Training Institute, visit our website, www.kingdomti.com.